was a very big fan of Mythbusters. Watched all the episodes of that show in its 14 seasons on the air with Adam Savage and Jamie Hyneman and Carrie Byron and Tori Belleci and Grant Imahara. That show went off the air in the last year, and Adam and Jamie went their separate ways. But Carrie, Tori, and Grant are still working together. They have a new show called The White Rabbit Project for Netflix. And today, Netflix released all 10 episodes for streaming, and Grant is here to talk about it. Hi, Grant. How are you?
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. And by the way, let's start off with the important news. Congratulations on getting engaged a couple of nights ago.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I saw a video online of you asking Jennifer, your longtime girlfriend, and handing her the ring, and she seemed a little bit overwhelmed.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had planned a surprise birthday party for her, and so she got the surprise part of the birthday, and then just before we did the cake, I asked her to marry me, and she, of course, said yes.
Very nice.
We're very happy.
Now, considering your work in the past, did you even think about having a robot ask her?
Yeah, maybe like have a drone bring the ring in or something like that. I think in this case, I favored the more traditional approach for this sort of romantic moment.
But her Twitter page says she's a robot girl. What does that mean?
She's, I would say that she's a robot enthusiast, is what she means by that. So,
well, that's why the two of you get along so well. Not that you're a robot, but you like making robots and things like that. In fact, you're the one who made Jeff Peterson the skeleton sidekick for Craig Ferguson, right?
That's right. That's right. Craig wanted to have, he didn't have a co-host like an Ed McMahon. So he decided that he wanted a robot, and he and his son were really big fans of Mythbusters, and so when they needed someone to make a robot, I was the first name that popped in his head.
And did they tell you what the specifications should be, or did they just say, just build us anything, we'll be happy?
Oh, no. Actually, Craig was so excited about it, he wanted to get on the phone himself. And in our conversation, I said, okay, so what do you want, something like high-tech, like a Terminator kind of thing? He's like, no. I want the cheapest possible plastic classroom skeleton. And I said, do you want him to, like, move? He said, no, I just want one arm and, like, the head to turn and the mouth to flap, and that's it.
Uh-huh.
So, and from there, it was, they dressed him up in his post-apocalyptic suit, and he became part of the show.
And when the show went off the air, did they return Jeff to you?
No. As a matter of fact, I believe Jeff is still in storage. But and I don't know if Craig has him. I'll actually probably see Craig this holiday season, so I'll have to ask him what finally happened to Jeff.
Tell him you want your skeleton back.
Oh, no. It's his. I created it. It's my original creation, but it was my gift to Craig,
okay,
the Late Late Show.
All right,
that's where he belongs.
Let's talk about the new Netflix show. Why is it called The White Rabbit Project?
It's an Alice in Wonderland reference.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go down the rabbit hole, you follow the rabbit down the rabbit hole, and instead of calling the show The Rabbit Hole, we call it White Rabbit Project. And essentially, if you are on the internet, say, late at night, and you just decide to look up one thing, and suddenly it's hours later, and you look up, and you're like, oh, my God, where'd all my time go? That's what they call going down the rabbit hole, and that's what we do in our show format. We take these topics and delve deep into them and investigate all the stories.
I watched the screener of one of your episodes. I was going to say it's the second episode, but when Netflix releases 10 of them and there's no linear story going from one to the other, it doesn't matter what order somebody watches these shows in, right?
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all meant to be independent things, and each show has a different topic,
yep,
like the jailbreaks or great heists or weapons of World War II. They're all they can be viewed in any order.
Okay, so I watched the jailbreak episode. That's the link that your publicist gave me, and I watched it. And in that, Carrie follows kind of a French version of the Great Escape with POWs getting away from a Nazi concentration camp or prisoner of war camp during World War II. And Tori builds a hot air balloon like an East German family that flew to freedom. And you tell the story of very exciting helicopter escape from prison. And you've got El Chapo in there and a couple of other stories. There's a lot of storytelling, not as much building and shop work as I expected there to be. Is that typical of what we're going to see in this new show?
There's definitely a build element, but what we wanted for this show is to have it look very distinct, very different from Mythbusters. And so you'll see that it has a much slicker feel, but it still retains these build elements.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite as much like all throughout, because it's not a full process of one, say, one myth in particular. In this format, each of us gets to pick two stories in that topic that interests us. So, for example, with the jailbreaks, I have the guy who escaped with the helicopter, and then also the guy who tried to escape by dressing up as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get to build things wherever appropriate. And so for this one, Tori built a hot air balloon. For another one called Dude, Where's My Hoverboard, which talks about future technologies that we were promised and never got, I'll be building a hovering platform that I can ride.
Wow.
So there's plenty of building in these episodes.
Yeah.
So we try and get in like at least one build per episode, something fun.
I know there's one where you build a cryo gun. What is that?
Yeah, so that's for the superpowers episode. And the thing about our show is that everything that we talk about is grounded in reality. So it's something that happened in history or some future tech that's currently available or is about to be available, or in this case, pop culture. And specifically, what superpowers, what is the closest thing we can get today to these various superpowers? And so I chose a freeze gun, like Mr. Freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And so the cryo gun basically fires a concentrated stream of liquid nitrogen at the target to attempt to freeze it solid. And you'll have to see. You'll have to see. But also for this one, Carrie takes the opportunity to try out mind control. And so she invites Tori to dinner and is connected to a series of electrodes on her arm. And then Tori shows up, and he gets connected to a series of electrodes. And there's an electronic package that reads your bio signals and reads the stimulation of Carrie's muscles. And so as she flexes her arm, a corresponding set of signals shocks Tori's arm so that his muscles involuntarily tense, kind of like that ab belt that, you know, you wear it and kind of shocks you, and it forces your muscles to flex.
Uh-huh.
So this is not only a chance for Carrie to demonstrate this kind of technology where she thinks something and then Tori's arm moves, but I think it's also a chance for her to torture her friend and not allow him to eat or drink anything from that meal.
Yeah. A listener named Dan, who knew you were going to be on with me today, tweeted to me today, please ask Grant how much Tori gets hurt in the new show. Because that was part of the legend of the three of you on Mythbusters, that Tori took spill after spill after spill, or took something to the mouth, or whatever it was. Does he also
get
abused a lot in the new show?
Absolutely. Some things never change.
Yeah.
And so we take every opportunity to use Tori in our investigations. I had Tori help me out with one where I was demonstrating a new backup beep that's available. It's less annoying than the beep, beep, beep.
Yep.
It uses white noise, so like a shh, shh. And it's supposed to be easier for you to tell where it's coming from for safety reasons. So I surrounded Tori with a bunch of guys with dodgeballs. Next to each guy is a speaker, and I blindfolded him, and I gave him a little shield. I said, okay, dude, if you hear, like I played the beeps, if you hear the beep coming from one direction, you turn in that direction and you put the shield up, and you can block the dodgeball.
Uh-huh.
You guess wrong, you get hit in the head. So it didn't work so well with the beeping, but it worked amazingly with the new type of pulsed white noise. And, you know, I got to see Tori get hit with a bunch of dodgeballs.
See, now that's one where, Grant, I could see you in the meeting, and one of the producers says, okay, we are going to play dodgeball and put Tori in the middle, and you just go, I'm good. I'm in. I don't know what the technology is going to be yet, but let's definitely do that one.
Oh, no, it's exactly like that, except it's my idea to put Tori in the middle with all the dodgeballs hitting him. So you definitely got it there. That's the basic idea. And then they're like, you know, should we tell him? What? And no, just have him show up.
Yeah, just do it.
He's a very good sport.
I saw a MythBusters repeat. Well, they'd all have to be repeats because you stopped doing the shows last year. But I saw one this week that because I've watched every episode, I think may have been among the most frustrating for you, and that was the speed bus jump, which you did, I think, in 2009. For anybody who doesn't remember, in the movie Speed, with Sandra Bullock behind the wheel and Keanu Reeves on the bus with a bunch of passengers, and they can't go below 50 miles an hour, and they're on a highway, but the highway isn't finished, and there's a gap in the highway, and so Keanu Reeves tells her to go as fast as she can to speed up so that when they get to the gap, they can fly across that gap, and the bus can continue onto the other side. But when you tried it at the Alameda runway, what happened?
Oh yeah, it was a horror show. You know, we had a full size real bus, and it was a decommissioned city bus, fully radio controlled, and we had a ramp set up and a landing zone, and you know, in our small-scale initial experiments, it didn't look very good for the bus. I mean, there's just, you know, the basic physics of that situation, even if it was supposed to be like a freeway interchange and, you know, where the gap is, there's like a little downslope to help you out, and there's supposed to be maybe kind of a ramp just before the bus jumps. Even with all that, the physics just doesn't quite work out.
Yeah.
So for us, you know, we have to, like, we have our small scale test, but then the full scale one, you have to try it. So
you're making a TV show. You want to try to make that bus go over something.
You have people want to see that. They demand to see that.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
What we do is we give the people what they want.
Yep.
So I'm chasing the bus in this truck in this kind of chair that's set up just like the bus with the controller, trying to drive the bus. We're having radio control problems, and so the bus is kind of really veering around a lot. And that was a long filming day, you know, for something that we used to do pretty routinely, which is radio control full-size cars.
Mm-hmm.
We've done it a number of times.
Yep.
And the funny thing over the years is no matter who does it, no matter what type of car it is or what control system we use, something always happens. And that inevitably, it just, you know, goes to the gate. Or, you know, I'm sure there's a montage out there of how many times we've crashed through the gate at the Alameda runway.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that they would let us keep coming back, but they did. So, yeah, the bus didn't quite make it. Kind of went off the ramp, a little cockeyed, and crashed.
But you had to be out there, and you did it over and over again for hours and hours and hours. And I could see, I mean, even though it's edited, so I'm only seeing a couple of minutes of it, I could just see the frustration in your face growing and growing and growing to the point where it seemed like you were just going to say, we're just going to get it somewhere near the ramp.
Yeah, it was rough. It was very, very squirrely. And in the end, it's like, we got it. It kind of went over the ramp. I was like, okay, that is close enough to give us an idea of what might happen.
Yeah. I know Adam and Jamie are not involved in the White Rabbit Project. What are they doing since they've gone their separate ways? Do you know?
I know that Jamie is taking on projects inside his shop. And I think that one of the things that was great for him with Mythbusters is before the show, he had a few military contracts and, you know, he would do things here and there. But after the show, it's kind of like having a pedigree over, say, you know, whatever other contractors you might hire to make some new and weird defensive thing.
Yep.
So they would look at the show, the top brass of whoever is commissioning him, the military people, and you know what we need? We need a guy like that to help us figure out this problem.
Yep.
So that's what Jamie's doing. He's blissful to have his show back after all these years, like just to have it all to himself again.
Yep.
As far as Adam goes, I'm not entirely sure. I see him now and again at various events, and I know that the boys do a lot of speaking engagements, and they've had their Mythbusters tour going for a while.
Yep.
So I'm not entirely sure what he's up to, but I know that his channel, he has a YouTube channel and a website called Tested, and so he does a lot of, like, one-day builds, and they do reviews of various equipment and fun content like that.
Well, in the meantime, you and Tori and Carrie are carrying on the tradition with a new project. It's not Mythbusters. It's the White Rabbit Project, released today on Netflix. All 10 episodes are available. And one other thing I got to mention about the jailbreak episode we talked about before, I think that there may be some people who are involved in the prison business who may learn things from the escapes that you did. For instance, don't put a guy who's notorious for helicopter escapes on the top floor of your prison, and don't put a guy who's notorious for tunneling out like El Chapo in the bottom floor of your prison. You should flip those two around when you're putting guys in prison.
You would think it would be obvious, and yet somehow it escaped them.
Good luck with it, and congratulations again on your engagement. It's a pleasure to talk to you today, Grant.
Thanks a lot, Paul. I appreciate it.
That's Grant Imahara, who with Tori and Carrie are back with the White Rabbit Project on Netflix. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.